Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and if you'll stand with me, please, if you're able to, we're going to read verses 1 through 12 because this is all one unit. The whole sermon is one unit, of course, but this one particularly, there's one kind of flow of thought going through it, and we're going to miss some real important things if we don't get that. So we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to reread verses 7 through 12, which we're going to focus a little more on today. So beginning in verse 1, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now just back up to verse 7 one more time. "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets." Be seated, please. Have a seat. As I've been studying this, one of the biggest challenges is to figure out, and I shared this with you last week with verse 6, to figure out how verse 6 fits with the five verses before. How now today, verse 12 fits with the previous verses. Because verse 6 and verse 12 just kind of jump out as you as, what is he talking about? How does that connect? And they're easy enough to sort of begin to understand all isolated on their own, but to put it into the context here is really a challenge. So I've been working real hard at this and thinking through and meditating on it and praying about it, so I hope that what I present this morning is accurate and helpful. When we realize that this whole section is together, when we realize that we tend to judge people wrongly, as we've been studying, we studied it 5 weeks ago, we studied it last week again. When we tend to hypercriticize people, which is to make their problems, the things about them that we think are wrong, bigger than they actually are. We tend to harshly criticize people. We tend to look at their faults and make them worse than they actually are. And we tend to wrongly judge other people. We look at them and we actually make their faults different than they really are or what may be behind them. Because of the logs that are in our own eyes, because of our own blind spots, because of our own deficiencies and inability to see the truth when it comes to stuff that deals with us, we need God's help, right? We need grace. We need His wisdom. We need discernment. And so once we begin to grasp verses 1 through 6, 1 through 5, and we can admit that. I've got logs in my eyes. I'm a hypocrite. We've all admitted that. We all blow it. We all do it poorly. Once we get to that place where we admit it, and we've pulled the log, we've extracted the logs from our own eyes, now it may be a situation where most of the time we should just let it go because it's just too touchy. It's going to be bad. I'm not ready, maybe. You're not ready, maybe. So, but if we do go, we have to go very, very carefully. That's what verse 6 is about. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine. They won't be able to receive it rightly. And so it could blow up. They'll turn on you, get angry. As we studied this in our men's group Wednesday morning, we've got about 12 men that gather together at 6:30 Wednesday mornings here at church. And about six of them are attending this church, so you guys had your outlines there and you had the answers and everything. The other guys hadn't, but it was just interesting. Once we finished discussing verse 5, right away, the discussion changed. It was like, yeah, but... So when we read verse 6, people started saying, yeah, but sometimes you have to say something. Or isn't it our job to say something? And it just stirred up all kinds of questions. And that's what this next section is answering. It naturally raises up, how do I know? How do I know when to let go? How do I know when to go? How do I know when to speak? When to just be quiet? Jesus is answering that. Look at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. So that's how I think it flows from the first part of it into the second. We need wisdom. We need discernment. We need God's help. But before we get into this whole thing on prayer, because there are going to be lots of promises today that we need to understand. But before we do that, we have to understand something else. Number one on your outline is that when Jesus delivers this message, here's a couple of big words, he is presupposing a relationship that is prerequisite to prayer. Who is he speaking to as he preaches this Sermon on the Mount? If you go back to the very beginning, chapter 5, verse 1, when he saw the multitudes of people following him, some were his disciples, some weren't. When he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, and so far he has referred to God 17 times as Father. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who have believed, who are open. They're receiving Christ. They're following Jesus. They want to be like Jesus. So he is talking to those who have believed. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, Jesus came to his own did not receive him, but as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God. So if that is true of you, and you know it for sure, and you should know it, if you can say with 100% certainty, this is me, he's talking to me, I can say, Our Father who art in heaven, the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And I cry out, Abba, Father, I know that I know because it's true of me. If that's not true of you, then you need to deal with that. You need to ask the right questions, talk to the right people. You need to get that issue settled. Can you say with 100% certainty that God is your Father? Not in the sense of creation, physically, but in the sense of creation spiritually. Do you know for sure? If you do, then this is for you. Okay? This is just one of the qualifications we find in Scripture for prayer. One is, are you His child? Have you come to Him and been forgiven of your sins? Have you believed in Jesus? You're washed clean. You're made anew. You go through the veil, like I prayed earlier. The veil's torn in two. You can come to God boldly. Now, He's your Father. That's one of the prerequisites for prayer. Another one is believing. I've got all kinds of scriptures to support all of these, but just for instance, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So you have to believe. Believe. Trust God. You have to pray in His name. John chapter 14, verse 13. Jesus said, ask in my name, and I will do it for you. He said in another place, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and it will be given to you, and your joy will be made full. So we ask in Jesus' name. That means in line with who Jesus is and what Jesus teaches. We have to pray with right motives. James chapter 4, we're told that you do not have because you don't ask. And you ask, but you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. So we ask rightly with right motives. And then finally, 1 John 5:14. Anything you ask according to my will, that you can know that you have. And so asking according to God's will. So all of those things, if we understand them, can help us not to pray wrongly with wrong expectations. There might be a whole lot of stuff we need to work with and work through in our lives before our prayers are going to be answered. Okay? This is huge. Satan is just all over this. He just wants us to misunderstand prayer. He wants us to misunderstand these prerequisites. He wants us to go to God wrongly. He wants us not to get our prayers answered so we can get mad at God and distort everything, mess up our relationship with Him and with everybody else. So these are important things to understand. Now, let's look at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. How many of you know that these are in the present tense? These verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present tense. In the Greek language, present tense means what? You keep doing it. So this really could be translated, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. So for number two, I have from verse 7, Jesus commands, he says, these are commandments. They're in the imperative mood in the present tense. Keep on doing this. Jesus is commanding us. He commands importunity. This is a wonderful, kind of an older English word. Look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. Importunity is persistence in requesting or demanding something. You want something. This is implying that you know that you're deficient. You know you need something. Ask, seek, knock, go for it. Do something about it. And this is what we can do about it. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, before one of Jesus' parables, he said, now listen to Luke 18, 1. Now, Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So Jesus commands his disciples at all times to pray and not lose heart. And then he gives a parable of a woman who goes to an unrighteous judge and he just wears him out. And he says, I got to answer. I got to give her what she wants, or she'll give me a black eye, literally. Other places, he teaches the same thing in a different parable. But he teaches importunity. Keep on doing it. Our problem is what I like to call the shooting star syndrome. We get all fired up about something. We're going to pray. We're going to pray together. We're going to do this. And then God's going to answer. And then life happens. And we get distracted one more time. And the fire kind of burns out after a while. And we stop praying. And that leads to all kinds of sinful behavior, where we're taking matters into our own hands. And we're... So, Jesus commands importunity in prayer. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what is it that you've been praying for or not praying for that you used to pray for, or something that you have in your life that you know the solution is prayer? The only one that can help you is God. So bring to mind now, ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind. Let Jesus back in the dining room if your mind drifted. And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you something in your life where maybe you've given up praying about it. Or maybe you never started. But that's the only thing that's going to get it done. Okay? Secondly, as we look at verse 8 to it, because there's three promises right in verse 7, you will receive. The door will be open. But look at verse 8. For everyone, so this is a universal promise, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be open. So Jesus promises the fulfillment of our prayers. Fulfilling, to carry something out that has been promised to us. Now that can kind of sound, it can sound broader than it is. Going to God in prayer like this is not like going to a self-serve buffet. Okay? You don't get to walk up to the buffet and say, nah, no protein today, no healthy carbs today, no veggies, no salads. I'm just going right to the dessert bar and I'm just going to pig out. Is that the way God answers our prayers? We just anything, Lord. Anything I want right now, the way I think it ought to be, that because I think this would be good for me. That's what he's saying? Not at all. And so it is more like an order off the menu. And this is our menu. Because there are things that we can know for absolute sure. So no matter what the details of the circumstances are, even there are certain things that he tells us, like wisdom, that he tells us specifically, clearly, if you ask me for wisdom, which is the context here, I don't know how to deal with all this logs and specs and stuff. Well, ask. Are you really praying about this situation so that God will give you his own wisdom and his discernment and help you see it the way he sees it? And you know, that might take some time. That's why you got to be importunate. And you got to keep processing through it with him. This is where I'll put on my commercial in for reading the word. If you're in his word meaningfully, as frequently as possible, and you do it humbly and openly, prayerfully, these situations that you're in, that we're in, that's what's going to be foremost on your mind. And as you go through Proverbs, he's going to give you several helpful tips of wisdom for you to deal with that situation and see it more clearly. And that's why a lot of times he doesn't answer us right away. We need time to process this thing rightly. He promises fulfillment. Think of the power of prayer. In James chapter 5, he says the effective prayer of a righteous man or woman. So now, he just said, your relationship is right with God. He is your Father. You realize you're going to have to pray according to his will. You're going to have to pray in Jesus' name with all that brings with it. You're going to have to trust him that he may not answer it the way you think or as quickly as you think. But you trust him. The effective prayer then of a righteous person who's right this way will accomplish much. And then as his illustration, he uses Elijah the prophet. And he, listen to what he says. Elijah, and you might say, well, yeah, but he was Elijah. That's not how James uses it. James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He's just like you. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. God altered the weather patterns for 3.5 years because of the prayer of one man. Several years ago at the Saratoga Church, when we had one of the Saratoga barbecue gatherings, do you remember the year? Anybody remember the year that it was supposed to rain? It was supposed to storm? We saw clouds coming from the west, a bank of black clouds coming in from the west as we were setting up everything. And there was a lady in the Saratoga Church named Eileen Martin. Anybody remember her? She was a prayer, absolute prayer warrior. And she was praying that the rain would hold off till the whole event was over. And a lot of other people, well, we were all praying, but I think hers were the most effective. She was praying, and I kid you not, those of you who are there and remember this, that bank of black clouds just sat there for hours. We had the entire thing happen. People came in, hundreds and hundreds of people came in to eat the free food we were giving away and listen to the gospel concert. The gospel was presented. The whole night happened. People got on their way. As we started tearing down, boop, the black clouds just went. Tornadoes, everything. And I know God heard the prayers of some righteous people, and he stopped the clouds. Are you reading your Bibles? Are you seeing how God does that? It's all over the pages of the Old Testament. He just does that stuff. In answer to prayer. He promises fulfillment of prayer. Now in verses 9 through the first part of verse 11, if you'll look there. In Jesus' day, bread, a loaf of bread, and fish were the staples. Of course, you'd need to drink water. But when he multiplied for the thousands, 12,000 people that had come out to hear him preach, and he multiplied what? Loaves and fishes. So this is just a staple food for them. But he says to them, he's just using common sense here, what man is there among you, if his son shall ask him for a loaf, would give him a stone? Now, yeah, there are sick people in the world, but he's talking to the normal average person like us. Is there a father in here? Think of you mothers on Mother's Day. Is there a mother in here who, you, if you had the food and your child comes running in from playing and you can tell, you know what they need before you ask because you're a good parent and you know what they need and they ask you for it, is there a healthy, normal human mom or dad who wouldn't gladly give it to them for the asking? So, I mean, it's just common sense. Or if, verse 10, if they shall ask for a fish, you wouldn't give them something harmful, would you? That'd be sick. You wouldn't even think of it. What he's doing here is he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. If you then, he says, being evil, if you then being in a whole nother category than God, if you then who can't see everything clearly, but you can see that, if you then who are so lacking of resources. I mean, you can do for your kids what? Only what you can do. You just are not, you don't have the wealth to give them everything. If you then, being in the category we're in, you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who he'll kind of unpack for us in the next verse, do what is good for you. And so in doing this, number 5, Jesus asserts who God is. So he asserts the Father's. Look at the second part of verse 11. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? This is meant to be a real encouragement to us. Hey guys, you know your mom would give you stuff, right? Everybody in here, you know that if you went to mom as a little kid and she had it, you know she loves you. You know she's going to meet your needs, right? You wouldn't have gone and asked her. And you went pretty confidently, didn't you? Listen, everybody, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who's sitting up there with all the resources, we'll talk about that next, but Jesus asserts the Father's, letter A, divinity. Your Father, look at the end of verse 11. Your Father who is in heaven, your earthly father take the shirt off his back for you. Your earthly father died for you. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, who's Almighty God, who has all the resources, is infinite in all his attributes. He knows everything about you. In fact, that's why he doesn't give us everything we ask for, because he knows everything about us. And he knows what we really need. He who's omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent and all the omnis that God is, he's infinite in all those attributes. How much more then, who is up there and he, well, we'll come to that in just a moment. He's also revealing to us God the Father's ability. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give? He's able to give what is good. Ephesians 4:20. You should know this by heart by now. Now to him who is able to do how much? Exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply, it's a promise to fulfill how many of your needs? Do some of you not know this? Philippians 4:19, Paul says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, his inexhaustible storehouse of resources. I think there's some here who need to hear that today. All of your needs. You think he's, you know, he gets 10 of your needs, but these other two here, he just must not get. Because it doesn't seem to be, he doesn't seem to be helping me here. That's not true. It's never a lack of ability. That's never the question. And it's never a lack of, letter C, love. How much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him? We had to run to the cities Friday and came home last night. We had an opportunity to go see Kelly, our daughter Kelly, and her kids and her husband. And Kim was able to go do something special with Kelly's oldest daughter, Iris. So they were out doing that. We were just hanging out. We went to the zoo for a little bit and we were just playing. And Quinn, who's Kelly's youngest, she's about 5 or 6 months old right now, she, of course, was strange to me. She didn't like me yesterday. So, but if I took her and turned her around so she could look out at them and laugh and just be stimulated by everything that was going on out there, I could hold her. So I was holding her quite a bit like this, facing out. So I'd look at the back of her head, and I'd kiss her on her head, and I'd kiss her on her neck, and then so I'm holding a grandchild, looking at her, and Kelly's out there running around with her other kids playing. So I'm thinking this, okay. She came out of my body. That lady running around out there playing, and those little kids and this little thing I'm holding in my hand came out of her body. Then I knew that today I was going to see the woman, little 5'2" woman. I came out of her body. Okay, how do you wrap your mind around that? How do you appreciate that fully? Can you? I can't. I can't even begin. It's like, this is unbelievable, Lord. You are so good. You are so loving. And something else. So my point is, how much more does your heavenly Father who made you, he by his own power wove you together in your mother's womb, how much more does he love you than I'm able to love mine? Right? And add to that, every time I looked at my grandchildren yesterday, or my children, and you saw their weakness, just your heart just goes out to someone, don't you? When you're looking at the ones you love and you see their weaknesses, you don't just look at the good stuff and yeah, you celebrate the great stuff. But when you see their weaknesses and their struggles, your heart just breaks, doesn't it? And you love them more and more. How much more does our Heavenly Father see us? We think sometimes we're pretty strong, we're pretty smart. Well, he must just look at us and just want to weep. Just look at that poor guy. Look at how pathetic he is. But that makes, he loves us and he wants to help us in all that stuff. Right? That's what I think Jesus is getting at here. How much, just think about it for 2 seconds. And then how much more, be reminded today of how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to you. And it may be hard, really, really hard. And your needs may be so deep and so intense. And I know what some of yours are today. But Jesus wants you to know that everything we're saying, keep praying, keep knocking, keep seeking the answer to that. Keep seeking the help you need. He wants to heal you. He wants to help you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to answer all those needs. He gives us what is good so that when we are satisfied in Him, some of you have heard this language many times, He is most glorified when we're satisfied in Him. And that's why Paul says, His power is revealed in my weaknesses. It's when I'm weak and I'm in such need. And when God then ministers to that, and then people look at me and they don't see how great I am, but they see how great God is. That is what, let your good works shine before men. That just means you just save the world. It just means trust God. Show them that you trust God. Show them that you need God. Show them that He helped you. Show them that this is so hard, but I'm leaning on Him, and He does it. That brings glory to God, right? Okay, now let's move to the next verse, because this is one of those that you're going to think, I have no idea why he put it here. But he did. And I have that. Verse 12 sums up this whole section, and it sums up God's law. This is it. Verse 12, therefore, this is connected. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. So what Jesus is articulating here, as he does in a few other places with some different wording, like I shared with the kids, is what we call the golden rule. The golden rule is, on one hand, simple to understand in a very surface, simplistic way. It is so hard to do. So much easier said than done. Elsewhere, we're told, love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying the same thing. Do you love yourself? Yes, you do. You think you're the king of the world. You think everything is owed to you. This is our natural fleshly bent. We're the king. We're the smartest. We're the best. You love yourself. You're looking out for yourself. You're going to meet your own needs, and you've got to meet you've got to meet your own needs. But then with Christ in us, we can learn how to pull up their computer screen as well. We can learn to get outside of ourselves. We can learn to put things into their proper perspective. So I was thinking to myself, I was really meditating on, why is this so easy to say and so hard to do? We'll see if any of this sticks. It's because of what I just said, we think we're God. It's because we're incredibly good at rationalizing things. So we do things like this. Now, I don't want to be treated like I'm stupid. And I know I'm not supposed to treat other people like they're stupid because they might feel like I feel. But then Satan creeps in and he says, yeah, but you're not stupid. But look at what they're doing. If you did what they did, you would expect to be treated like you're stupid because they're acting stupid. And they really are. And you've just done this, right? You've just done this. That bugs me. I don't like that. I'm doing what he's been talking about. I'm looking at the speck in my brother's eye, and I'm forgetting the log in my own eye. So I'm able to rationalize, and I'm able to, because of my pride in the logs that are in my eyes and the things I cannot see yet, and because of my self-centeredness and my self-focus, my self-preoccupation, I somehow am able to justify that I don't treat you so well. And I do not treat you the way I would want to be treated if I were in your situation. And I have not done the hard work of figuring that out before I made the decision to go or to let go or whatever I decide. So this, again, is if we get this, brothers and sisters, we get it. But we've probably got a long ways to go to get this. I made a list of the ABCs. We need help to apply the golden rule. We've absolutely will not be able to do it until he shows us the logs that are in our eyes. Right? So, in order to do that, Jesus says, you need to pray a lot. And you need to pray like we've said. So I went through the ABCs. This would be helpful for you to do. Just try this. You're going to need a dictionary because X is a tough one. All right. So how should we pray? I want this to be an encouragement to you. Encouragement to you mothers. Kids are going off to college. Kids are, whatever your kids are doing. It's scary, isn't it? Especially when they get older and they go off on their own and they make decisions. And wow. So here are the ABCs. Pray always. Pray adamantly. You're not going to be able to probably write these down. Pray always. Pray adamantly. Pray better. Pray bolder. Pray consistently. Pray confidently. Diligently. Earnestly. Fittingly. Pray graciously. Pray humbly. Pray honestly. Pray intercessionally. Pray intelligently. Pray Jesusly. Pray knowledgeably. Pray longer. Pray more. Pray non-verbally if the Spirit requires or inspires it. There's still, sometimes you just can't pray. You just gotta. Pray openly when appropriate. Pray perseveringly, persistently, patiently, macrothamia, long fusedly. That's what patiently means. Pray quietly at times. Pray reverently. Pray seriously. Pray sooner. Pray smarter. Pray tactfully. Pray unwaveringly. Pray verbally most of the time. And vehemently and vigorously and victoriously. Pray watchfully. Now here comes X. This is the only word in the English language, according to Webster, that I can connect with prayer. That starts with X. You won't even like this. You'll think it's dumb. But it's kind of is clever, I think. It's like the one of the last words that start with X. Xylotomously. Xylotomously. Which is xylotomous is when a bug bores into wood. Pray like you're going to get it. You're after this thing. I don't like this. It's uncomfortable. But I'm going to figure this out because he's going to give me wisdom because he promises he will give me wisdom and I'm going to bore in on it. Pray xylotomously. Pray yieldingly. So you're xylotomous while you're saying, but Not my will, Father, but let your will be done, because you know. And finally, pray zealously. Who in the world is Jesus? Jesus is God the Son. Jesus comes to dwell within a human being who will hear him knocking on the door of your heart and let him in and ask him to forgive your sins. You know, go to the cross of Jesus. At the cross, you'll be forgiven, you'll be washed clean, your past will be gone. You can start over and over and over. You can become a better mother today. You can become a better father today. You can become a better kid today. Jesus is the one who, by his Spirit within us, opens our eyes to the truth. Today, he's opening our eyes regarding prayer. And we need to understand these things in order to live the life that will glorify God. As people look at us, weak earthen vessels who contain great treasure. And as we, in our weakness, depend on God and ask him and seek and knock, he will fill us and help us, and his glory will shine through us. That's the plan. So will you bow your heads with me, please, now, and pray.